Joanna Schrader reporting for domesticfuel.com, and I am here with Brian Jennings with the American Coalition for Ethanol. Brian, how are you?
Hi, I'm great, Joanna. Good to see you again.
Well, you too. It's been a while. I know you guys had a very successful conference last summer.
Thank you. We did. You know, we were sort of the beneficiaries of, if there's a silver lining to a terrible drought, we were able to convince the Secretary of Agriculture to come and sort of refute some of that madness that was out there in the public about ethanol and corn prices and the drought. And so we did. We had a very good conference and really appreciated the Secretary spent so much time with us there.
Well, Brian, you have a lot of refuting to do. It seems like it's keeping you in business here. You know, we've had so many different things, the API studies and people just for some reason not wanting to adopt, you know, higher blends of ethanol. But, you know, one of the things that your organization is known for actually, you know, throughout the country is being such strong advocate and grassroots organization and having those people come together. And every year you do a fabulous event in Washington, D.C. You do a D.C. fly-in where you bring members from all over the country to go talk with legislators. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, sort of when it is, and then maybe talk about some of the, you know, how people can get involved and what you're going to be focusing on throughout this year.
Sure, I appreciate that. This will be our fifth annual fly-in to Washington. We've always had it in March, and so the dates this year are March 13th and 14th. And we'd love to encourage folks to sign up and come out. There's no fee, you know, to be involved. And we need as many people as we can. Last year, I think we had about 60 participants from a dozen or more states around the country, and we met with 200 congressional offices over the course of 2 days. So we covered a lot of ground, and you're really tired. You wear your feet out at the end of this. But it's the reason we do this is that we feel like, at ACE, we feel like it's really important to show our story, not just tell it. I mean, you've heard several speakers this morning, and I'm not trying to be disagreeable with them, but you've heard several people say the facts are on our side. We just have to tell people what the facts are. We believe at ACE that we have to show people. You know, tallying is one step, and I agree the facts are on our side, but sometimes you sort of need to wrap those facts up in a better wrapper, or, you know, if the facts are your weapon, to weaponize those facts in a more effective way. And what we found is real people can really put a human face on why the RFS is important or why we need E15. And so when a banker from a small town or a farmer who happens to be a board member for an ethanol plant goes to talk to members of Congress about why in his or her daily life ethanol has provided benefits and why it's important, that tends to resonate a lot more effectively than it would if it were a lobbyist, a paid lobbyist, or someone like that trying to make the case. And so we're going to be focusing on the RFS this year primarily, but there will be some other issues that we'll want to talk about. But we know that 2013 is a pivotal year in terms of trying to keep the RFS.
Well, Brian, there have been some shifts in after the election this last fall. So how many newbies are there that you're really going to need to target and sit down and tell the story about ethanol?
Yeah, and we do try to go see the freshman members of Congress because it's particularly important to get in front of them before someone else has the opportunity to shape their opinion. There are approximately 100 new, not quite, just under 100 new members of Congress between the House and the Senate. And so there are a lot of freshman lawmakers that we want to go see. So, yeah, we target them. We also go to the committees of jurisdiction. So, you know, agriculture committees, energy committees, go see members of Congress from those committees because they have sort of the most sort of influence or sway over legislation that impacts us. But this year we're also going to tend to talk more to the administration. You know, USDA has been a great ally of ours, but virtually every single thing relative to ethanol comes out of EPA, as you know. The Clean Air Act is under EPA's jurisdiction. The RFS is under EPA's jurisdiction. And so when we met with our members this fall in strategic planning, one of the things they wanted us to do is make sure we focus more time on the EPA and talking to them about the important things that, you know, we have to talk to them about. So we're going to keep folks busy, and yeah, we encourage them to come out.
Well, talking about freshmen, we're going to have somebody new here in the EPA. So, you know, do you know what's the word on the street? I mean, you spent many years in Washington, and obviously you still work there very regularly. What kind of person do you think is going to take the helm at the EPA?
Yeah, We're sort of nervous about this because we could either get someone very good for ethanol or we could get someone potentially not good. And I don't know who it will be. I don't have any inside intelligence there. But we feel like with President Obama and Secretary Vilsack, we have a couple of individuals that understand ethanol and support ethanol. And so no matter who is appointed, you know, we're hoping that we'll be able to work with them. And I think that's the case. But we're going to particularly lean upon Tom Vilsack, who frankly has educated Lisa Jackson and the White House sometimes on the importance of biofuels and leverage that friendship. But, you know, with the RFS volumes for 2013 having not been announced yet, with the lawsuits that have been filed against the RFS, we need someone at EPA that understands the role that agriculture plays in creating renewable fuels, and someone who's going to stand with us and make sure that, you know, there are some things about the RFS that aren't perfect. There are a lot of things we'd like to fix about the RFS ourselves, and so it'd be good to get someone in there who, you know, we're able to communicate with.
So, Brian, do you have a maximum amount of people who can participate in your event, or is this sort of an unlimited, you know, 300 people from 50 states can join you in Washington, D.C. for this?
Yeah, we'd love that, because then we'd go see every single member of Congress. I mean, honestly, no, there's no limit. And so if 100 or 200 or how many ever people sign up, we'll find ways to keep them busy. And, you know, if you've never been to Washington before and you're listening to this, we don't throw you at the wolves. We create these teams of lobbyists, so there might be two or three people on a team together, and we tend to put people that have never been to Washington before on a team with someone who is a veteran and has done it many, many times in the past, so they're comfortable, so they know sort of how things work and how to get from one place to the other. That's one of the daunting things about that town, but we've really found that it's been an effective tool. And we'll continue to do it as long as we need to.
Well, Brian, I'll make you a deal. If you can tell Domestic Fuel, keep a list of all the states you don't have represented, and we'll keep posting things on Domestic Fuel and sending them to your website, and we'll make call to actions and see if we can get somebody from every state with you in D.C. this year.
I love that. You know, I think we had folks from 20 states or almost 20 states one year, but that's the most. And so we'd love to get folks from every corner of the country, because that would be even more effective. So we'll take you up on that offer. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, thank you.